So our reading this morning is from Genesis chapter 22. And I'm going to read from verse 1 to verse 14. And you'll find Genesis 22, if you're looking for it, in the church Bibles at least, on page 22. Oh, that's convenient. So Genesis 22 from verse 1. Some time later, God tested Abraham. He said to him, "Abraham." "Here I am," he replied. Then God said, "Take your son, your only son, Isaac, whom you love, and go to the region of Moriah. Sacrifice him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains I will tell you about." Early the next morning, Abraham got up, saddled his donkey, and he took with him two of his servants and his son Isaac. When he had cut enough wood for the burnt offering, he set out for the place God had told him about. On the third day, Abraham looked up and saw the place in the distance. He said to his servants, "Stay here with the donkey while I and the boy go over there. We will worship and then we'll come back to you." Abraham took the wood for the burnt offering and placed it on his son Isaac, and he himself carried the fire and the knife. As the two of them went on together, Isaac spoke up and said to his father Abraham, "Father?" Love that. "Yes, my son," Abraham replied. "The fire and the wood are here," Isaac said. "But where's the lamb for the burnt offering?" Abraham answered, "God himself will provide the lamb for the burnt offering, my son." And the two of them went on their way. When they reached the place God had told him about, Abraham built an altar there and arranged the wood on it. He bound his son Isaac and laid him on the altar on top of the wood. Then he reached out his hand and took the knife to slay his son. But the angel of the Lord called out to him from heaven, "Abraham, Abraham." "Here I am," he replied. "Do not lay a hand on the boy," he said. "Do not do anything to him. Now I know that you fear God because you have not withheld from me your son, your only son." Abraham looked up, and there in a thicket he saw a ram caught by its horns. He went over and took the ram and sacrificed it as a burnt offering instead of his son. So Abraham called that place, "The Lord will provide." And to this day it is said, "On the mountain of the Lord it will be provided."
This is an old man. So he's older than any of the older men here. And that's important to understand, that even at an age that he is, he was having to learn things. So all of us have something to understand and learn from this about how God is and where we fit into that. So you've got this here. This is basically where we're going today. How was the night before? Or the 4 or 5 nights before, after God had first spoken this word to Abraham? The turmoil in his mind, the sleeplessness of what was being asked of him. Was he hearing right? Is that what God was really saying? The doubts, all kinds of things are pouring through his mind that were, "This doesn't really fit with what I know, that God said I would have this son. God said that that is how it would be. And now I'm being asked to sacrifice him. What on earth is going to happen to me? Or this? How is that?" Complete confusion in his mind. But knowing that he was simply to obey. And he'd begun to learn how to obey. But he'd also got some issues with where he felt things should work out. He'd been obedient in saying, "Well, I will follow you, God, because God said, move from this place to this place." This is many, many, many years before. And so he up sticks, takes his family, and they all move over across to another part of the world, leaving all that they knew, all their family and their connections and everything, and didn't have very much with them. and slowly built up a new community of the people that worked for them and so on. And so he was obedient, and then all manner of other things happened. He was then told that he would have a child. Now, him and Sarah, as some of you may know, had not had children. Yet they were as old as the oldest ladies here, who probably won't be having children anymore. And there was Sarah, who was told she would have a child. Well, this is amazing. This is quite incredible that God should do such an amazing thing for them. And he thought, well, this just isn't happening, is it, really? You know, thank you, Lord. Your promises are nice. But it's not happening. And so Sarah says, well, look, God has said you will have a child. And so you better have a child. But it ain't through me. Have my servant. And so he lays with Hagar. Hagar bears a child, and it's not really what God had, it's absolutely not what God had planned. Go back a few years before that, actually, and we find that Abraham is kind of making it in his own way. He's not, yeah, he's obedient, but he's also trying to make the plan work for himself. And we often find ourselves, you know, we kind of got a glimpse of what God's up to. Okay, right, now I know the plan. I kind of got an inkling of what God's up to here. So now I will take control because I can see where this is heading. And so we start to pull back into our own way of thinking and our own understanding of the way things work and the experiences we've previously had that have taught us, if God does this and tells me to do this, this is how it will be. And so we follow that trail of something we've learned before about our own experience of life or people that have gone before us and taught us how to do things, shown us the way ahead, and we follow that. That is not what God necessarily wants. A bit later on, we'll think about this thought. Trust in the Lord and lean not on your own understanding. We're very, very quick to go back to our own understanding because it's common sense. So Abraham trails off down into some other part of the world, Egypt. And he's needing to make money, he's needing to make good friends and relationships, and so he ends up in, and we have to understand this, that actually Abraham is a well-known figure. He's a diplomat in some respects, and he's a good negotiator, and he can see how things can work from a human perspective very well. He manipulates things, make things work for him. And so he says, let's play a little game here. You're not my wife, you're my sister. That means you are related to me, but you're not my wife. And so I will, if it so happens that we end up in a little fix somehow or other, that is the relationship. So Sarah goes along with this. Maybe she doesn't, I don't know. She ends up in the courts of the Pharaoh, and I don't know what happens there, but things aren't quite how you'd expect between a king and this young lady who turns up in his household, and that doesn't end well. So he's making things work for himself in his own way, in his own understanding. And we've seen that along the way. Just a thought here, actually, is that his grandchild, his younger grandchild, was also a deceiver. Who is that? Do we know who that might be? Jacob. Jacob was the deceiver and made things happen for himself in his own way. Now, God was gracious and could see what God wanted, the way God wanted things to go. And he's also very merciful. We've had communion and we understand his mercy and his love. God couldn't carry on like this, though, with someone who was doing things in their own way and needed to get Abraham to a different point of understanding. So is this a story about God or Abraham? Now, often it's taught that we see how Abraham is tested, and he proves the test. He shows us all how we should behave and we should follow God, and he's lauded as somebody who is to be looked at as someone who was very, very faithful to God and did exactly the right thing. But I think the way I've painted it today isn't that he did do the right thing much of the time. And it's actually about God. It's about God's mercy and God's love for Abraham. God was not happy for Abraham to carry on in his life thinking that he had it made. So he ticked all the boxes at this point. He'd actually got a very beautiful wife. He was very, very, very wealthy. He was very well known in the region and honoured. He had many, many people working for him. He had so many people working for him that his nephew, who also had lots of people working for him, there just wasn't enough space. And so they'd have to part company. So these huge wealth that these two men were creating around them they could carry on making money. They were doing very, very, very well. And now God had also honoured him and said, you will have a son, and it will be your son from your wife. And he'd been given that as well. Fantastic. He'd got it made. What else needed to happen? God was giving him these descendants who were going to be as many as the stars in the sky. Fabulous. So all he needed to do was retire and relax and watch it all happen before him. Where would that take him as a person in relation to God? Abraham had never been broken. He had never actually come to the point of absolute and complete dependence on God. And that is what God required. He needed Abraham to come to that point where he was utterly dependent on God. He knew that Abraham was obedient, but he then needed him to be absolutely dependent on God. Not dependent on any of his possessions, any of his wealth, any of the stuff, any of his family, and now his son was going to give him these heirs. He needed him to be absolutely dependent on God for what God was requiring, not of Abraham, but of the community that was to follow him. And we have to learn from this that actually that is where God needs all of us to come to that point. Now, some of us will come kicking and screaming because we like control. We like to understand where we're going and we like to know the ins and outs of everything that is in our lives. We don't like disorder in any way. It's not something I particularly suffer from, actually. Others of us around do, and we're all made differently. And as you know, my own life in the last three years or so has put me in a point of absolute, complete dependence on God. And Danny's story is much the same, actually, in different ways. And many of us will have things we can talk about where we have come to that point where the only thing left is Him. Now, that's actually a very good place to get to, because it's a complete relief from performance. We don't need to perform anymore. We don't need to create stuff and thing and do. We are utterly in His hands, and there He is. And then the glory of everything that happens after that goes to Him, because we can't hold it anymore. We can't hold on to what we had, because He is in control of it. When we can offer that to Him, then amazing things are able to happen, because then don't come from us. So Abraham is there. He does not know where this is going. He is simply being obedient. He's a follower of God, and he's simply being obedient. It doesn't make any sense to him, but he's being obedient. He doesn't know he even answers his son, "I don't know how this is going to end up. I just know that this is what we have to do." And God bless him that Isaac is just gives up to that as well. I don't know what on earth is going through his mind. Cannot imagine it. Because he will have known the stress and strain that his parents will have been through to get to this point. And what on earth is his mother going to say to his father? Just complete chaotic thing going on in his mind. God needed him to get to that point, for them all to move on. And then what happens is that they perform this thing. He gets on the sack, on the altar. The knife comes out. He's being obedient, and he wants to follow this through because God has told him to do this. Well, God bless Abraham for his obedience. God bless God for his provision, because he needed Abraham, and he needs us to get to that point where we are completely in God's hands. Now, Danny said the title for all of this is, "Why would you start here? If you were going to move on from here, us as a church, why would we move on from here? Or start at a place like this? Why would God do that? Why did God need to do that?" Well, it is about him. And we've had a grand hullabaloo thing yesterday, and it's fantastic. What you don't know is that Danny's been called somewhere else. Maybe. Would that make sense to us? That would be ridiculous. God has put him here. For him to be then taken somewhere else next week, we would be, "What is going on, Lord?" So it's not about Danny coming here. It's not about any one of us coming here, or the lovely meal that Julie prepared yesterday, and many other people, and Jacob and his cooking. What is God doing in our lives, and are we willing to be completely open to him? And are we going to let God have his way amongst us? And it's not what we achieve. It's what God does. It's what God does. And as we simply are open-handed, open-minded to what God is doing, he will provide. And all of the honour doesn't come anywhere to any of us. It goes to him. I think that's all we need to say.